Welcome to How Stuff Works Now. I'm your host, Lauren Vogelbaum, a researcher and writer here at How Stuff Works. Every week, I'm bringing you three stories from our team about the weird and wondrous developments we've seen in science, technology, and culture. Today, we explore two big questions. Is a future without gasoline and other petroleum products closer than we thought? And, less terrifyingly, could a Mars colony also be closer than we thought? But first, senior writer Jonathan Strickland looks at proposed legislation in New York State. If it passes, a police officer on the scene of an accident could give your phone the equivalent of a breathalyzer.
If you live in New York and the proposed legislation known as Evans Law passes, you will. State Senator Terrence Murphy filed the act back in January, and a company called Cellebrite is developing a device that police could use to enforce the law. Here's how it would work. A police officer comes to the scene of an accident and suspects that at least one person may have been distracted by a personal electronic device. Connecting Cellebrite's gadget to each person's phone in turn, the officer can see if anyone had been using their phone immediately before the accident. According to the proposed legislation, the device wouldn't record or analyze what the phone was doing, it would just log that an activity had taken place. And since it's illegal in New York to operate a personal electronic device while driving, this information could lead to an arrest. It's sort of like the smartphone equivalent of a breathalyzer test. The act argues that each driver has given implied consent to hand over a device just as they have given implied consent for a breathalyzer test if an officer requests it in New York State. So, what happens if you refuse to hand over your phone? The state suspends your driver's license for at least a year. Unless you've refused to hand over your phone before, then it's a minimum of 18 months. Plus, you may face a fine of $500 for the first offense or $750 for subsequent cases. This is in addition to any other legal action taken against you due to the accident itself. Senator Murphy argues that since the Cellebrite device doesn't access your data, it doesn't violate the Fourth Amendment guaranteeing protection against illegal search and seizure. There are lots of questions left to answer. Will the Cellebrite device be able to determine if the phone was being used in hands-free mode? In New York, it's legal to operate personal electronic devices if you aren't holding them in your hand. And since Cellebrite's other major products can scrape a phone for data and activity, some people are concerned that this law could lead to more invasive searches in the future. It's important to remember that distracted driving is a legitimate problem. According to the CDC, about 18% of all crashes in which someone was injured also involved distracted driving. And according to Senator Murphy, 67% of drivers admit to using their cell phones while driving despite knowing the dangers involved. But is this the right way to solve that problem?
Now, head video writer Ben Bolin digs into the news that Saudi Arabia is getting out of the oil business. Aside from having a huge impact on the global fossil fuel market, what does their plan indicate about the future of oil in general?
On April 25th, 2016, Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman announced the beginning of the Vision 2030 initiative, which aims to steer the country away from its current economic addiction to cheaply produced oil. This plan requires Saudi Arabia to float stakes in their massive company while also setting up one of the world's largest investment funds and trimming those sweet, sweet perks the government has historically provided to its citizens. The kingdom spends an estimated $61 billion on these benefits alone each year. This all sounds pretty ambitious, right? To quote Billy Mays, wait, there's more. According to the Deputy Crown Prince, the kingdom aims to rid itself of oil dependency by 2020, a move that experts like Capital Economics' Jason Turvey find dubious, to say the least. But the kingdom is putting actions behind this rhetoric. By selling 5% of the world's largest oil company in an IPO, the government is also laying bare the books of a notoriously secretive global operation. And all of this leads us to a bigger question. Is oil on the way out? Currently, the world runs off fossil fuels to the detriment of the environment. While alternative forms of energy do exist, we've got solar, nuclear, hydropower, wind, and so on, none have as of yet been able to match the efficiency and profitability of good old crude. Recent breakthroughs in oil extraction technology, such as fracking, have driven a drop in prices. For energy exporters like Saudi Arabia, and for that matter Russia, this spells bad news on the economic front. This might not be a symbolic gesture, but a matter of survival. And what happens if Saudi Arabia succeeds? Will other countries follow suit, diversifying their economies and attempting to kick the fossil fuel habit? For now, it seems like a pipe, or should I say oil pipeline dream, but it's getting less and less implausible. For decades, we have known that an oil-powered global economy is not sustainable over the long term. But now it seems that the end of the bubble may be closer than we thought.
Finally today, senior writer Robert Lamb reports on Elon Musk's plan to launch a mission to Mars as soon as 2018. SpaceX is in for a busy couple years.
That's right. In just 2 years, we might well see the first private Mars landing in history, the first big step in Musk's epic dream for an off-world colony. Dubbed the Red Dragon Mars mission, SpaceX intends the endeavor to serve as the first test flight of the upgraded capsule, a capsule, according to Musk, designed to land anywhere in the solar system. Its predecessor, the Dragon 1 capsule, made history in 2012 when it became the first commercial spacecraft to successfully deliver cargo to and from the International Space Station. And they hope to start moving human cargo with it over the next couple of years. Now, you're probably wondering, why 2018? Well, it all comes down to what scientists call Mars oppositions, convergences in the orbits of Mars and Earth that shorten the distance between the two worlds by hundreds of millions of miles. The maximum distance between the two planets is a colossal 250 million miles, with the Sun in between us. The average distance is more like 140, but the closest possible distance is a tantalizing 33.9. Now, July 27, 2018 will give us 35.9. Which ain't bad at all. We won't beat that again until the year 2035, and then only by about 500,000 miles. The Mars opposition window is important, but the hard part won't be getting to the red planet, it'll be successfully landing. A tricky task no matter who you are. Much like the Curiosity rover's nail-biting descent in 2012, Dragon 2 will hover down to the surface via 8 hover rockets, its Super Draco propulsive landing system, which SpaceX has already tested planetside. Still, a great deal of work remains to be done here, and Musk intends to announce more details later this year. But if successful, SpaceX could very well be on the way to hitting Musk's previously touted 2025 goal for human Mars exploration, beating NASA to the honors by decades.
That's all for this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Subscribe now for more of the latest and strangest science news, and send us your ideas for new stories, plus any feedback or, you know, really killer knock-knock jokes you might have. Shoot us an email at nowpodcast@howstuffworks.com, and to access thousands of other stories like these, check out our home planet, now.howstuffworks.com.